we could start tonight, please, in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 19. Matthew 19, which in the translation I'm using is on page 1100. Matthew chapter 19 and verse 13. Then there were brought to him little children that he might lay his hands on them and pray. But the disciples rebuked them. But Jesus said, "Suffer little children and do not hinder them from coming to me, for the kingdom of heavens is of such." And having laid his hands upon them, he departed thence. And then in Luke's Gospel, in chapter 8, which is on page 1235. Luke's Gospel, chapter 8 and verse 40. And it came to pass when Jesus returned, the crowd received him gladly, for they were all expecting him. And behold, a man came whose name was Jairus, and he was a ruler of the synagogue. And falling at the feet of Jesus, besought him to come to his house, because he had an only daughter about 12 years old, and she was dying. And as he went, the crowds thronged him. And a woman who had a flux of blood since 12 years, who having spent all her living on physicians, could not be cured by anyone, coming up behind, touched the hem of his garment. And immediately her flux of blood stopped, and Jesus said, "Who has touched me?" But all denying, Peter and those with him said, "Master, the crowds close thee in and press upon thee, and thou sayest thou, 'Who has touched me?'" And Jesus said, "Someone has touched me, for I have known that power has gone out from me." And the woman, seeing that she was not hid, came trembling, and falling down before him, declared before all the people for what cause she had touched him, and how she was immediately healed. And he said to her, "Be of good courage, daughter. Thy faith has healed thee. Go in peace." While he was yet speaking, comes someone from the ruler of the synagogue, saying to him, "Thy daughter is dead. Do not trouble the teacher." But Jesus, hearing it, answered him, saying, "Fear not, only believe, and she will be made well." And when he came to the house, he suffered no one to go in but Peter and John and James and the father of the child and the mother. And all were weeping and lamenting her. But he said, "Do not weep, for she has not died but sleeps." And they derided him, knowing that she had died. But he, having turned them all out and taking hold of her hand, cried, saying, "Child, arise." And her spirit returned, and immediately she rose up. And he commanded something to eat to be given to her. And her parents were amazed, but he enjoined them to tell no one what had happened. We sung in our hymn, "Come Unto Me," and the verse that hymn is based on, "Come unto me, all ye who labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Just had a very simple thought tonight about Jesus being a saviour for anybody. We've read, first of all, about little children. We've read in Luke about somebody who was a bit older. And finally, we read about a completely hopeless case, one that naturally there was no hope for at all. But we started with here in Matthew chapter 19, looking at these little children that came to the Lord Jesus. You know, you can never be too young to come to know Christ as your Saviour. You can never be too early to come to know him and to have your sins forgiven. You can be too late, but you can never be too early. And these little children here, they came to Jesus and he put his hands on them. And it's just such a lovely picture, isn't it, of the attractiveness and the kindness and the love that the Lord Jesus had for little children. And you know, tonight, whether you're young or whether you're old, this man that we read about here in this passage, he welcomed the little children to him. And it's the same welcome tonight, friend, that you can have by coming to know him, coming to him, and acknowledging him as your Saviour. But I just wanted to just focus on this just for a little bit because, you know, we've got children in this room tonight. Children who, as I said, it's never too early to come to know as the Lord Jesus as their personal Saviour. I remember when I was, I think, 7 years old, somewhere around there, I remember listening to, there's a cassette tape, which is very old nowadays, but a cassette tape of a book called Treasures of the Snow, which is a Christian story. And I remember sitting in my parents' living room about, I think it was on a Sunday evening, and realizing as that story progressed through and the messages of the gospel were intertwined in the plot of that story. And I remember in a moment realizing at 7 years old that I was a sinner and that I needed a savior and that Jesus Christ could and would be my savior. And you know, it was in that moment, it wasn't like there was this great flash of light or anything like that, but in that moment, I knew that I'd been saved. And that can be your assurance tonight. Because it's not on my own acknowledgement, if you like, that I knew I was saved. God gives you a sense of peace and a sense through the power of the Holy Spirit to know that you have been saved, forgiven once and for all. And you know, since that time, does it mean that I've lived a perfect life since I came to know Jesus as my Savior? Absolutely not. I've let him down more times than I can possibly tell you. But you know what? He's never once let me down. And you know, I just urge, however old, however young you are, the Lord Jesus Christ is able and willing and waiting to be your Savior. How do I know that the gospel can go out to little children? Because the gospel is very simple. The gospel is very straightforward. All men have sinned, it says. Every single person in this room, from the oldest to the youngest. We all know what it is to do things wrong. We all know what it is to lie, to make things up, to take things that don't belong to us, to feel jealousy, to feel a burning dislike for people, to all these things that we do. We know what it is to say things we shouldn't say, to think things we shouldn't think. All these things, you know, are what the Bible calls sins. And every single one day, will have to be accounted for. It's very simple. The Bible lays the foundation, if you like, as to why the gospel is necessary out time and time again. You read through the book of Romans. Very simple, straightforward at the beginning at least. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Every single person. Is there a righteous one? Is there somebody that has done right? God says no. There's nobody that is righteous. No, not one. Every single person comes under the same banner of being a sinner. But the simplicity of the gospel is, yes, everybody's a sinner. Yes, we all need a savior. And the simplicity in the message of the gospel is that God has provided one in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. God has presented his son as a savior for anybody who will come and turn to him in repentance and faith. And it's so simple. I'm not going to stand here tonight and give you the words that you need to speak. I'm not going to stand here and tell you that there's certain way of certain words that you have to say at all. But the simple acknowledgement of you being a sinner, of realizing that you need a savior, of coming to the Lord Jesus and saying, I believe that you are the Son of God and that you forgave my sins at that cross at Calvary. It's not magic words. We're not talking about flippant phrases that we can say. This is a heart matter. This is something that you do in your heart. You can do it right now in your seat here. It's very simple. It's very straightforward. The gospel is presented so that even the simplest child can understand and come to know what it is to have their sins forgiven, to come to know what it is to find in Jesus someone who is a friend, someone who is a shepherd, someone who is a savior. Let the little children come to me. Well, in Luke chapter 8, we read about somebody a little bit older. So Jesus is a savior when you're young. He can also be your savior when you're a bit older, when you've lost that innocence, if you like, of youth, when you realize that the sins that you've committed over many, many years have piled up and that burden that you carry is very, very heavy. This person here that we read about, the woman, she had an illness for about 12 years and she spent all her living on physicians but could not be cured by anybody. It's a well-known passage for some in this room, perhaps. But you know, what a picture that is of us trying desperately to sort our own sin problem out, to try and remove some of the guilt, some of the burden that we carry for the things that we've done and said wrong. And what does it say? It could not be cured by anybody. There's nothing you can do, friend, that can in any way come close to touching one of the sins that you've committed. What can is the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the only thing that's on offer in the gospel tonight, friend, that is able to wash away the guilt and the burden that you carry. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses from all sin. Yes, we're all sinners, but the blood of Jesus Christ can cleanse from all sin. God knows everything about you. We read that earlier today, didn't we? Even the hairs of your head are numbered. He knows every single thing that you've ever done in your life. And that might be a scary thing, but it can be an encouraging thing as well. Because when you come to know Jesus, when you come to realize that every sin has been forgiven, it means every sin. He knows every sin. He's not missed one. Every single sin can be completely washed away in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ if you come in repentance and in faith tonight. So this woman here, she realized her need. She'd spent all her money on physicians. She tried everything she could. And perhaps that's where we are tonight. We want to try and balance out the bad with the good. We want to try following some other philosophies or other things that maybe can, for a moment, maybe give us a sense of peace. But you know, they all will fail. There's nothing that can remove that burning sense of desire to want to just be free from it all, to stop running, to just feel that sense of peace, to have that burden removed. There's nothing that can do it except coming to know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Saviour. Or you know, you might have tried all sorts of things, but tonight you're here listening to the message of the Lord Jesus. And he says, come unto me, all ye who are labour and are heavy laden. I don't know what you carry tonight, friend. We all carry different things, don't we? Some of us perhaps carry very heavy burdens. You know, Jesus is able for it all. Every single person in this room tonight can walk out of that room, out of those doors, at the back of this hall, a free person, knowing their sins are washed away, never to be brought up again. She spent all her living on physicians and could not be cured. She knew she had a need and couldn't do anything about it. And yet she came to the Lord Jesus. And tonight, dear friend, Jesus is here passing through, if you like. He's here tonight, ready and willing and waiting for you to come to him, to reach out in faith, to look at the Lord Jesus Christ tonight and realize that he is the Savior that you need. She reached out and touched the hem of his garment, and immediately she was cured. There's no progression with forgiveness of sins. There's no earning it. It's done in a moment. The moment you come to know Christ as your Saviour is the moment that burden of guilt is gone and your sins are forever washed away and your name is written down in the Lamb's Book of Life and nobody can blot it out. What a joyous message that is, you know. As I said earlier, how many times have I failed my Saviour? How many times have I let him down? And yet I know that my soul is secure because of what he accomplished on that cross 2,000 years ago. That can be your same peace. That can be your same security. What a joy it is going through life, knowing that it doesn't rest on my merit or my work. It doesn't rest on my performance. It rests completely on the finished work of Christ on the cross of Calvary. It was done. It was finished for all eternity. God looked at that sacrifice on that cross. He could look at that shedding of that blood. And what a foundation it was. What a righteous basis God now has to forgive each and every person in this room because of what Christ has done. She reached out and touched the Lord Jesus. And you know, it's a lovely picture, this, isn't it? You know, sometimes I read the Bible and we forget that these things are actually happened. You know, you can picture this scene, the crowds around Jesus, and there's this one person And you know, tonight you're in a room with 30 people, but God's interested in your soul. Your soul. It's a very individual and personal matter. She reached out, she touched the hem of his garment, and she was healed. It's an individual matter, friend. It doesn't matter who's sitting next to you or in front of you or behind you. God's looking at you tonight and asking you, do you know my son as your savior? Well, friends, I want you to come to know him as your savior. I want you to come to know what it is to have your sins forgiven. I want you to come to know what it is to have that sense of peace and hope in your heart. And you can do it tonight by reaching out in faith and coming to know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal savior. There's so much more that people could say about this passage, I'm sure, but just very simply, Jesus is a savior whether you're young or whether you're old. He's a savior for everybody. And then finally, we come on to this last bit here. The story sort of splits in half. It starts with Jairus, then we have this woman, and then it finishes again with Jairus' daughter. What a hopeless case this turned out to be from about verse 49. While he was yet speaking, comes someone from the ruler of the synagogue saying to him, thy daughter is dead. A hopeless case. Maybe tonight, friend, you think you're a hopeless case. Maybe tonight you think you've done far too many things that people could in this room would balk at if you told them. Maybe you think that you've done so many things that God couldn't possibly forgive you of what you've done. Let me tell you, friend, God deals especially in hopeless cases. In fact, actually everybody in this room, including me, is a hopeless case. There's nothing I can do to earn my salvation. There's nothing anybody can do. We can't earn our way there. We've all fallen short. And God deals with hopeless cases. This person here, Jairus' daughter, she was dead. You can't get much more hopeless than that. And yet the person who is in this story here was also known as the resurrection and the life. Somebody that brings life to a dead heart. Somebody that brings life to a situation that was, for all intents and purposes, completely hopeless and completely without life at all. And yet Jesus steps into the situation. And when Jesus steps into a situation, friend, he brings life. And tonight he can step into your situation. Your heart might be dead and far from God. And yet when you come to know Christ as your Savior, when he steps into your situation, you can know what it is to have life and to have life eternal. What a privilege. What a joy it is to know Christ as my Savior. But I wonder, friend, is he yours? Have you known what it is to be raised from the dead, to be raised out of the depressive, gloomy nature of your sinful state, and to be placed into this position of having eternal life? Well, friend, it's on offer in the gospel tonight. It's on offer in a person, the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's on offer so that you, here in this room, can come to know what it is to have your sins forgiven and to have life eternal. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes on him may not perish, but have eternal life. It all rests on what Christ has done. And thank God, what Christ has done on that cross stands for time and for eternity. What a joy, what a privilege to know that the Lord Jesus is your Savior. I know him as mine. I wonder whether you know him as yours. He's a Savior for everybody. He's a Savior for every single person in this room. Come unto me, all ye who labor. Whether you're young, whether you're in the middle, whether you're getting older, he's a Savior for everybody. Oh, friend, tonight, won't you find him as your Savior? As I said, he's never let me down. He never will let me down. He's somebody that is with me from the moment that I was saved, and he'll be with me all the way until I reach that place where I will be forever in the presence of the Lord. What a joy to know that he is there through time and through eternity. He can be your Savior. He can be your shepherd. He can be your friend. He can be your guide. And it all rests tonight on what you do with him. What will you do with Jesus? The man that has done everything to secure your salvation. He stands here tonight ready and willing and waiting. Are you going to reach out and touch him in faith to know what it is to have your sins completely washed away in his precious blood? Well, I pray that you may do so for his name's sake.